It's easy to think that there are some passages of the Bible that are just straight up boring. However, Skip Heitzig says that really depends on your point of view.
Now, a genealogy isn't boring if your name is in it. And what's great is now we have a genealogy where God is focusing upon those who are faithful to Him. And I think God has special regard for those who are faithful to Him. And more genealogy that includes faithful names are here than the unfaithful one in the previous chapter. I think that's a principle. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Those who knew the Lord spoke often to one another, and a book of remembrance was written for them in the presence of the Lord. It's as if God is saying, I write a special little book of remembrance for those who are faithful to me, who talk about me, who love to talk about me, and to remember me, I remember them.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
You know, many think that Darwin's Origin of the Species was a step toward better understanding who we are. After all, if we can understand where we came from, we can figure out why we're here and how to move forward. It's actually not a bad thought. It's just you need to make sure you begin at the right starting point. And that's why we're going back to the book of Genesis, for it's here where we discover where we truly came from, how we got to where we are, and in doing that, we'll hopefully understand where we need to go from here. Skip Heitzig will begin our study on the connection in just a moment. But before we start, as nice as it is to have these daily Bible studies together, nothing really compares to getting into God's Word for yourself. So here's something to help you do that.
What are you going to do to stay healthy in the new year? Eat right? Exercise? Go to the gym? Buy more workout DVDs? What about spiritually? What are you going to do to stay spiritually healthy? The Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig can help you get into the healthy habit of spending a little time in God's Word each day during the new year. It's the perfect gift to encourage someone you know to start a spiritually healthy habit. Get the Daily God Book from Skip Heitzig for just $15 when you visit connectionradio.org. A little discipline and hard work can produce some amazing results in your spiritual life in 2012. And the Daily God Book may be just the tool to get you on the road to being healthy and fit spiritually this year. Just call 1-800-922-1888 to order, or ask for the Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig for just $15. Or you can order when you visit us on the web at connectionradio.org.
What do our origins reveal about our present state? More importantly, what do they reveal about how we can improve our present state? In order to answer those questions, we need to go back to the very beginning, not of the primordial ooze, but of the early days of God's creation. Stay with us as we do just that.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Genesis chapters 4 and 5. And as you find your place, let's join Skip Heitzig for more of this study.
The first bigamist was Lamech. He had two wives. Now God said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife, singular. This is the first time, and it's in the line of Cain, that two wives are taken by one man. So this is where it all started. He's the first bigamist. Now he has three kids. And one is the head of the Cattle Growers Association. He's sort of the father of all those who are herders. The other is the Music Guild Superintendent, those who play harp and the flute. And the other one was a metallurgist. So they're doing sort of what God had told Adam and Eve they should do. They should have dominion over the earth and subdue it. But they're now subduing it, not for the glory of God, but for the glory of self. Now, that's important to understand, because this lineage is about to stop as far as recording its future. It's going to stop, and another one's going to pick up for obvious reasons. Then Lamech, verse 23, said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. I know a lot of guys that do that every night to their wives. He says, for I have killed a man for wounding me. Now, this could be self-defense, or it simply could be, you know, a guy injured me. He brushed up against me, and it hurt a bit, so I killed him. See, at this point, it's very primitive. The lex talionis has not been instituted yet. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, to limit vengeance. So he says, somebody hurt me, I killed him. Even a young man for hurting me, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Interesting that Jesus told Peter that he should forgive 70 times 7. Or, some translations, 77 times. One is revenge, the other is forgiveness. Verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth, appointed. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. As for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. I want you just to think about this. They had a child named Seth. That was a happy day for them. But up to this point, it was very sad for them. Adam and Eve lost two sons. They lost Abel. He was murdered by Cain. But then they lost Cain because God exiled him. So as parents, they lost both their children. But now Seth has come. Now a godly line. And we have in these two chapters the difference between the godly line of Seth versus the ungodly line of Cain. Now the line of Cain will be dropped off. Now the line of Seth will be picked up. Because Seth is the one through whom God will send his promise, Genesis 3:15, son born of a woman who will eventually destroy the kingdom of the serpent, of Satan. So the godly line, the line of Cain, is given. And it says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Or some translations suggest they began to call on the Lord by name. And the word Lord is Yahweh. They began to call on Yahweh by name. They referred to this one as the God who is the I Am. They began to call on him by name. So, chapter 5 is the genealogy of the line of Adam through Seth. Cain is now dropped. Now we're picking up a godly, not a godless culture, and it will end with Noah, who is also godly, and the flood will be at his time. Francis Schaeffer, I don't know if you're familiar with that name, but he's in heaven now, but he wrote a tremendous amount of books that influenced me early in my Christian walk. And he talked about all of society being two humanities. You're either in one or the other. And what he was referencing is something that St. Augustine wrote years before. In a great monumental work called The City of God. Have you ever heard of The City of God by St. Augustine? Augustine said that all of the world, all of the human race, is in one of two cities, or societies we would call them, one of two cultures. One that regards the love of God over the love of self, and the other one that regards the love of self over the love of God. And he drew many parallels to his day, including Rome, etc. But the City of God. And so here we see the two humanities, the two cities, by these two genealogies. It says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. So it's the history of man, Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Now we're going to have a genealogy. And I know what you're thinking. Boring. I mean, what could be worse than reading names of people you don't know, especially names nobody can pronounce, at least in English? That's boring. It's funny that some people would say a genealogy is boring, and yet they'll pour over pages and pages of stock quotes and think it's cool. Or batting averages.
Now you're talking.
Now, a genealogy isn't boring if your name is in it. And what's great is now we have a genealogy where God is focusing upon those who are faithful to him. And I think God has special regard for those who are faithful to him. And more genealogy that includes faithful names are here than the unfaithful one in the previous chapter. I think that's a principle. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Those who knew the Lord spoke often to one another, and a book of remembrance was written for them in the presence of the Lord. It's as if God is saying, I write a special little book of remembrance for those who are faithful to me, who talk about me, who love to talk about me, and to remember me, I remember them. Beautiful idea. Now, as we go through this, it's a graveyard. No, we're sort of like walking past tombstones, and it reads, and he died, and he died, and he died. You're going to read that phrase all the way through, except for one exception. A guy who doesn't die. He created them male and female, blessed them, and called them mankind, or in Hebrew, Adam. They were called Adam. They weren't called the Adamses, or the Adams family, but just Adam, mankind, in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. All the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, I'm not going to deal again with the ages of people. I dealt with that when we were going through the creation story as to the plausibility of people living up to that age with the plausibility of a vapor canopy and the electromagnetic spectrum. I'll leave that for that study. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. I just want to throw something out to you. When Adam was created on day one, how old was he? He was one day old. But did he look one day old? No, he must have looked like a full-grown man. What, 20, 25? Fully developed. So in the first day of creation, there was an age factor built into Adam, as there was in the rest of creation. When God created birds in the sky and animals on the ground, he didn't say he created eggs in a nest that hatched. He created the birds. When he created plants and trees, he created them with seeds so it could continue. So there was an age factor built into the unit itself. It just is fun to throw out. It brings up the possibility that God could have done that with all of the universe. I know there is a debate as to the age of the earth. Is it 6,000 years old? Is it 10,000 years old? Is it 20 million years old? Is it billions of years old? And there's a lot of different guesses. But God certainly could have done to the whole globe what he did to Adam or the birds or the plants, put an age factor in them that made them mature, even though they were much younger than that. So all the days, verse 8 of Seth, were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years, begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And after he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years. And had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Mahalalel lived 65 years, begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. All the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. Now I slow down for a reason. Begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. Did you know, just a little interesting fact, that though Enoch is an Old Testament person, he's mentioned more in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. There's five passages altogether in the Bible that mention Enoch. Two of them are in genealogies, so the three of them that have real substance are Genesis 5. There's some commentary on it here. Genesis 5, Hebrews 11, and Jude verses 14 and 15. So there are three verses in the Old Testament and two verses in the New Testament. But if you count the words, 51 words in the Old Testament that speak of Enoch, 94 words in the New Testament. So more in the New Testament is written about Enoch than even in the Old Testament, this ancient, interesting man. Okay, so verse 20, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and retired. No, it says he lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Now that would imply that he hadn't always been walking with God, but now something happened that caused a turning, a desire to walk with his Creator. And the only event that we can find that caused that was the birth of a child. Isn't it amazing how when you have children, especially raising them in a wicked environment, you sense the need to get spiritual? Not bad. You sober up. You realize, oh my goodness, this is the environment my child's going to be raised in. These are the values they're going to be exposed to. I better get me to church and put that little boy in Sunday school. Be careful, though. You can't pass on what you don't have. You have to have a relationship with God yourself and a desire yourself, because if you try to just pawn it off on the child, he'll see hypocrisy. Kids are good at spotting that really quick. But he walked with God 300 years, had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now here's the only break in the book, in the chapter, that says, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And then we come to Enoch, and he didn't die. It says he was not, for God took him. Again, Hebrews chapter 11. And I've marked it. I'll just read it to you. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death. He was transferred. The word could be translated. Transferred. He just was here one moment and in heaven the next. Sort of like a rapture. On the earth, didn't die, off the earth. The Bible predicts the event will take place in mass again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the Lord comes back for his church. Those who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will be translated, taken instantly into heaven. The rapture is that. Enoch walked with God. He was not. God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years, begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. Imagine being the life insurance company that sold him his annuity. They had no idea how long this dude was going to hang out. It's the longest, this is the oldest guy in the Bible, 969 years. But it says he died. Now, you should know something. It says in the book of Jude, I'm going to make this quick, Enoch proclaimed judgment and prophesied judgment to his generation, preached to them of coming judgment. Now, how did he do that? The only guess I can come up with is in the name of his son, Methuselah. which means, when translated, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Or it could be translated, his death shall bring it. Or when he is dead, it shall be sent. If you were to do the chronology of his birth and the time of the flood when Noah was 600 years old, you discover that the year Methuselah died was the year the flood came. I mean, who would name his son, when he's dead, it shall be sent? What kind of a name is that? It's a pronouncement of judgment. He could see that the flood was coming. How could he see that? Well, when you walk close with God for 300 years, God tells you a few things. He named his son that, which would make being his parents a little precarious. Every time the kid got a cold or wanted to go out and play, oh my goodness, this could be it. All the neighbors, if they knew about it, would give him vitamins and take care of him. Lamech lived 182 years, had a son, called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." And he begot Noah. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years, had sons and daughters. All the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Well, can you imagine living that long? Just think of all that you could learn. The point isn't so much living as long as possible, but no matter how long we live, to walk closely with God for as long as we can. That's the secret to a life well lived. So don't worry if you don't reach the ripe old age of 900. Just make sure that no matter how many years you have, they're years well spent as you grow closer each day to your Lord. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, let's check in with Skip and Lenya and see how they're doing with all those resolutions.
New Year's resolutions. Tricky things, these are.
Do you have any?
Well, yeah, usually the first of the year I say lose weight, but right about now, you know, 2 weeks into it, I'm out. And I think that's a fairly common problem with New Year's resolutions.
It's all the holiday feasts.
That's right. We go, okay, now I've got some.
And the gifts that we have from Christmas filled with chocolate.
So, but besides weight loss, a very common New Year's resolution is to have a better devotional life. And this month we're offering your Daily God Book, which is a daily devotional.
Yeah, the Daily God Book is 365, what I've called key passages from Genesis to Revelation. So it gives people the ability to get those passages highlighted, a certain truth. It gives them a little bit of homework to do. We ask them to read a portion of the text itself and then get into the devotional. But it helps them get a really good in 1 year through the Bible viewpoint of how God has worked historically and what his will is for our lives. I was reading one of the reviews online for the book, and this person said, "It's just the right amount of scripture reading for a working couple who needs to get out the door, and such beautiful insights into scripture. What I want to give people is a nugget to digest and to carry with them through the day." It is for people who don't have lots of time, but definitely want to spend some time and get the key elements of what God says to them.
It's beautiful. I, as you know, Skip, carry a tent. No, not really a tent, but I have a Bible bag.
You call it your tent.
I do call it my tent. And I keep my Bible journal in there, and I keep my Bible, and I usually keep a devotional each year. I kind of switch them up. So I'm thinking I'm going to tuck one of those this year so that I can have your nuggets with me. And I would encourage other people, you should derive your quiet time principles. And so get a bag and put some tricks in it, your Bible, your pen, your journal, and a devotional.
And I'm going to be interested in your review.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And if you'd like a copy of that Daily God Book, just give us a call. We'll send you one for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Or if you'd like a copy of the study we just looked at today, you can also call that same number, 1-800-922-1888. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6, or get it online at connectionradio.org. And also, if you'd like to hear Skip teach on some other topics, peruse through our online teaching library. There are over 1,200 messages from Skip for you to look through online. So stop by and see what you can find today at connectionradio.org/library. And as always, if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share, you can always do so when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Up next time in this Expound series, we'll move on to Genesis chapter 6. So be sure to join us as we go chapter by chapter through the Bible's first book, here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.